Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Kavanaugh Scober, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down
at the Roundtable. Joining me at the round table today is visual artist Kim Carlson. And I want to make sure that I give out your Instagram is kim.carlson.art. And you prefer people to find you on Instagram, correct?
That's the easiest person.
Okay. All right. When did you first know that art was your destiny?
I think when I was really little, I had the experience of living across the street from a public park in Chicago.
Oh, wow.
And they had these programs, and I took theater one time. The experience of being on a stage was like, I'm home. I couldn't describe it. I couldn't figure out what it was about it, but I was like obsessed. But then I also lived in a family that didn't value that.
Okay.
So I think I kind of suppressed it and just put it away. But there was always this like dream of like, I need to be a movie star. I don't know where it was coming from, but I did go to a very progressive high school that had a lot of arts and and I was just around a lot of quirky, eccentric, artsy people like in high school, which was a really formative period of time for me to just be like, if I couldn't do theater and I couldn't do specific art related things, then I could actually just wear whatever I wanted. And I remember being just so fascinated by people that were like goth, like in the 80s, I went to high school in the 80s. So there was a wide variation of different kinds of styles and going to high school in downtown Chicago, I was like able to see so much of that and appreciate a lot of it.
Yeah. But no, that sounds really inspiring. And I love that even though you didn't find, you know, specific theater things to do, you recognize that, like, you know, the way that people might dress or wear makeup, like you were talking about the goth kids and everything, that's almost like performance art. They're expressing something, you know. I don't want to say it's a role because it's very genuine. It's very it's very real, but it's an outward visualization of something very internal, very real, in that speaks to them internally. So I love that. I love that. So so from high school on, what path did you take with your art?
I went out to California for a year, my first year, because I was like, I need to get out of
the Midwest.
Get out of here. Yeah. So I went out there and I was at a school called Scripps, which is a very small private all-girls school. And it was it wasn't conservative, but at the same time, it was so small that I think it was a little bit smothering.
Yeah.
But it was also right near LA. So I went into LA a few times and it was almost this otherworldly feeling of being like, it felt like home. LA felt like home. And I couldn't describe it. I didn't know what it was, but I think it was the congregation of so many artistic people. And I remember I had a roommate who lived in the Hollywood Hills, and she talked about her dad, who was like a music producer. And like, we actually went to see her home. And I was like, wow, this is what it's like to grow up in a family that supports creativity.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was just such an eye-opening experience for me. So I kept getting these views of art and artistic things, but I still was in a family that was very conservative and very like, that's not responsible. You can't go that way. And
you can't make a living with that. You know,
I went shopping at the Beverly Center once, and I was approached by a modeling scout. And I was like, this is my chance. This is it. I can do this. And my parents were like, no, we're not helping you do that. So they kind of shut all that down. And it was, you know, everything I think I look back on and I go, maybe that was for the best, because I don't think that probably would have been the healthiest route to go. Like,
sure. And everything, even the obstacles in the past have, you know, do lead us to where we are today. So, but continue with your journey. Tell us more.
After that, I felt shut down by like I wanted to express myself. Like I wanted to do something related to art, modeling, mm-hmm. fashion, just self-expression, stuff like that. But I never really figured it out, like mm-hmm. in high school, in college. And so, you know, I graduated with a major in Spanish and a minor in Italian and political science. And I was like, that was my favorite class in high school, Spanish. So I figured, why not major in something?
Sure.
I like?
Yeah.
And I graduated and found it like to be very frustrating. Like I didn't know what to do. So I became a teacher, a Spanish teacher, and met my ex-husband now and moved out to California. So I kept back out to California.
Sure, yeah.
And I taught there for 7 years. I taught Spanish and then got pregnant with my first daughter. And then once I had her, I just couldn't, that became my artistic endeavor. I couldn't not be at home with her. Like I don't think people ever have the knowing of what parenthood is going to feel like until they actually have a child.
That's so true. Yeah.
I never predicted that I would be the kind of person that I had to stay home. Like I couldn't put her in daycare. I couldn't go back to work. I wanted right. to be home. So that's what I did. But then after having her, I also, a lot of the issues I had from childhood trauma, a lot of sexual abuse that I'd endured when it started coming to the surface when I had a child, got depressed, like severe depression, severe anxiety, kind of like suicidal ideation, all that kind of stuff. But I realized now that I'd kind of been that way since I was 18. There were a lot of things going on in high school and school where I was like, this isn't normal. My family's not quite all there.
Right.
And so I think my whole goal of life was escaping my family every time that I could and just getting away. So I think marriage was one of the ways I tried to escape my family. But mental illness started playing a huge role in my life. Okay. Just depression, anxiety, OCD. Mm-hmm. And I'm realizing now a lot of it was PTSD and complex PTSD that I was experiencing. And just not having the people to process it with, because it was actually my family that had caused it. So I was...
Yeah, you know, it doesn't sound like you had the support system or, you know, even I mean, how can you even figure out how to find a support system if you're just at ground zero of it and you have no way to know which direction to go, you know?
And the people that I was asking for help from were the people that were actually abusing me. And it really never clicked with me.
Right.
So until many years later, like maybe like 5 years ago,
mm-hmm.
I got the strong message that your family is the one that's causing this. You can't
just
go back to them for help. We moved back here to Indiana because my ex-husband is from Indiana, and we moved back here to be closer to family and help.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I just picked up a sketchbook one day and started copying things. Like I would copy images. Like I was copying it for my daughter. I was doing it for my daughter. It was like I drew Bambi for her, and then I drew Thumper, and then I was drawing these things for her. And people were looking at it and going, did you trace that? That started me in the drawing and the sketching genre and using pencil and paper and kind of, and then you just get into like, as an artist, I think just the fun of like touching things, like smearing it with your finger or getting it wet. And like all that stuff started getting really exciting to me. But then again, I was kind of in a marriage where I was unhappy. I had a child. I didn't really know where to go with that. And so then we got divorced and I didn't know what to do. So I figured the best thing to do would be go get another degree, which I think a lot of artists fight their whole lives with like,
yeah, I agree. Yeah.
You know, so they end up doing like, if you look at my resume, it just looks so like, what is she doing? Can she pick stick with it? Like, because
that's an artistic resume. We'll do anything.
You know? Like, I just need to survive and figure out something that bridges me to my next artistic sort of endeavor. Sure. So I was just kind of playing around with art and just doing it. And I got a nursing degree and I went into nursing. And then I think in like 2013, I met somebody who was really artistic. He looked at me one time and he goes, you're an artist. And I went, what?
Like, really? Like,
and this my,
where's my label? How do you know that?
It's a common thing for me where people will look at me and tell me something. Like I remember I have a younger daughter. My youngest daughter's father is really abusive. And I was talking on the phone with him about a year ago and a girl walked by me and he was yelling at me and she goes, that's abusive. And sometimes it doesn't occur to me until someone points it out. Like, you're an artist. That's abusive.
Well, but that's such a hallmark of abuse that, you know, people who are abuse victims, you know, lose the ability to recognize when that's happening to them. And that can be any kind of abuse, but I think especially verbal, emotional, psychological abuse. I mean, it's it's kind of hard to ignore if somebody hits you, you know, that's like, you're okay, that was abusive. But the more subtle forms of abuse, I think when you're in a situation like that, it is very hard sometimes to see that that's what's happening to you. And even if you do see it, it's hard to come to terms with it and to accept, okay, I, you know, a lot of people don't like the word victim, but when I say abuse victim, I mean someone who's been abused. Okay. I don't mean they're the victim. Yeah. I mean, they've literally suffered the abuse. Right. And I think it's very hard to accept that that has become part of who you are, and to try to work your way through, out, beyond those kind of situations. So I admire tremendously that, you know, you have been able to use artwork as sort of like therapy and find your way, not just as an artist, but as a survivor. That I personally believe that all art is therapeutic. And from the creative point of view, art is therapy. From the perceptive point of view, like looking at other people's art, listening to music, all of reading a good book, all of that is therapeutic. It's spiritual, it's healing. And then the creative process also in my book is therapeutic. You're the living proof of my theory. You know, you're one of the people that I've met that, you know, has that kind of a story to share. Yeah. And also, you know, huge shout out to you for sharing, for talking out loud about difficult challenges in your life as a person, as a wife, as a mother, as an artist, you know, because that's not easy to do. And I appreciate that you're willing to share that with our audience, because I believe you will inspire other people to, you know, work their way through their more difficult aspects of their journey.
Yeah. And recognize a lot of it is like, I see in my art, since I really started doing more concentrated artwork that started in 2016, I think I subconsciously was using art as a profound transmuter of pain and suffering, like deep pain. It also incorporated, for me, it was almost like performance art also, because I remember I had the experience of automatic art, like the art was drawn.
It just came to you. Yeah,
it was so powerful. And I would look around and say, anybody else feel
this happening to everybody? That's fantastic. So you have a very strong inner spiritual connection to the arts. COVID-19 has obviously caused major, major issues and adjustments in the arts world. How has COVID-19 impacted you?
I've been sort of self-isolated for the last 2 years, working through a lot of deep trauma and like getting some serious therapy, going to group therapy, personal therapy, doing a lot of ancillary therapy work. But when I became isolated and not able to go out, for me, the way to process some of that anxiety and stress was going for walking and listening to music. And it started to be a thing where, like, well, if I can't go to my dance class, I'm going to go do this. There's some steps by the Palladium. I'm just going to run up and down the steps. And then all of a sudden it would move me to start dancing, and I would start dancing up the steps. But it was that same feeling of like, there was this immense freedom. It like freed me from feeling like I had to go to a gym or I had to go to a class. I was like, I could do my own classes. And you're in your own mental prison until you allow yourself to see something different and a way to access creativity and joy.
I love that you say it that way, mental prison, because the only people who can unlock that prison is ourselves. I just think that's great. And I want to encourage people again to go to your Instagram, kim.carlson.art. And then tell us what's on the artistic horizon for you.
Well, right now I do tarot card readings and interpretations and stuff like that. And so I kind of am taking a direction, like, because of the past I've had with trauma and, you know, abuse and things like that, I want to reach people in a way that I can open dialogue with them and kind of interact with people, because I feel like part of what the pandemic has done is it sort of ripped a Band-Aid off of a lot of people's lives. Working with people that have been through trauma that's unrecognized, there's an art to doing that in a gentle way that you don't re-traumatize them. Because sometimes I can intuitively or psychically feel something about somebody, but they have to be able to bring it up out of their subconscious to truly be something that they are empowered about dealing with, instead of me saying, I'm seeing this or I'm seeing that, or I feel like you've had this experience. That's that's traumatizing.
Right. That's wonderful. I love this. I thank you so much for being my guest today at the Roundtable.
Thank you. I appreciate being here and I'm grateful.
It's my pleasure.
This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org. We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.